You're listening to Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers with your hosts Greg Barrett and Kane Holloway.
Hello, everyone.
I love that pause. Keep that in, Pat. I want there to be that moment of uncertainty. Like, are we going to podcast? Maybe we don't. Like, maybe we just fucking shit the whole thing. There was just we both just waited. And yeah. Then it seemed like maybe we won't podcast.
Maybe we just are on a fucking Zoom call.
Yeah.
And we're hanging out. You know, I like uncomfortable silences. You know that about me. And so I don't mind there being a whole podcast of us just sitting in a room together. So, you know, don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah.
I'm Kane Holloway. Welcome to the show.
Greg Barrett. This is Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers. You know that.
This is the most professional show you're ever going to hear. Okay? We are professional podcasters. Did you watch The Bachelorettes?
Yeah, I watched The Bachelorettes.
Oh, my God. They really stepped up their game this season. This is probably going to be the craziest season that they've had in a while. Two Bachelorettes at the same time with, like, 1,000 guys.
Yeah, and the whole point, the thing they keep saying is it's not a competition. They're not going to compete. You know, they're going to be different guys for each girl. And we know it's not true.
Yes.
They've shown you how much crying there is at the end.
There's so much crying always.
Yeah.
I forgot it was, I didn't know that it was like coming. And so when I saw on my TV, it was like, I was on Hulu and it was like, do you want to watch The Bachelorettes? And I'm like, what? This is on? Fuck yeah. And I got all excited and I started and then the previews are always the best for The Bachelor. And The Bachelorette, because it's like, we're here to find love. And then you see them curled up in a ball in a fucking hotel hallway. Why did I do this?
Yeah, they're always running away from producers. And
yeah, it's great. I can't wait to, I got to watch Dave's show now and get ready for what he has to say. Dave Neal.
Yeah, if you follow The Bachelor, go to Dave Neal on YouTube. He does good Bachelor recap. I listened to two different Bachelor recap podcasts, as well as six different F1 podcasts. Oh, man. That's all I listen to. I want recaps of the things I've already seen. I just saw the race. I want to hear six different teams of people talk about the race.
I do that.
And I want them to re-explain The Bachelor to me. Yeah, Game of Roses, and I'd love to see it.
Love to see it.
Yeah, with Claire and Emma.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'm pretty stoked for this. I find the Bachelorettes engaging. I wouldn't say they're very interesting.
Oh, I like them. I think Gabby's cool.
Gabby, I like, but I can't even remember the name of the other girl.
Rachel Recchia.
Is it Rachel? Okay, yeah. I can't. I don't know. I don't find her all that like compelling, and I don't know. I feel like I'd rather just watch a Gabby season rather than the two.
I think everyone's under that opinion.
Yeah, Gabby seems super cool, and but yeah, I do like that they start off the season, they just want to kiss everybody. I like how, because a friend of mine who started watching The Bachelor was like, it was never like this. Like, you watch those first early seasons of The Bachelor, no one's kissing anybody until they get like I love you said and shit. And now people are like, I just want him to fucking kiss me, bro. And then none of the guys are like kissing him until I would say halfway through the episode. And then it was like a way to know that this is the person I'm going to give my roses to.
Yeah. Well, those first kisses are, you know, they're awkward.
Yeah, they are. We were talking about first kisses off air. I don't even remember how this got started, but then Pat goes, I have a great one. I have a great first kiss story. And so we were like, all right, don't say shit. Let's start the show.
Yeah. I don't mean to drag your personal life into this, but didn't you just have some first kisses?
What, me?
Yeah, haven't you been making out like with multiple people?
Yeah, but I thought, what?
No, I just. I don't think it's fair to come on here and act like you're not unclean. and all of the unclean stuff you've been doing.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, no, yes, I'm out on these streets mushing my lips onto people. It's a grand old time. I did have a real awkward lead-in with one girl. I was like, a friend of hers liked me. And so she was trying to, but like, we like crush on each other, both not looking for relationships and, but just want like, you know, to have fun and hang out and high five and all that shit. So I like awkwardly stumbled my way through trying to figure out if like, it's cool if we kiss. I enjoy your friend, but I like you. And she was like, what are you trying to tell me? And I'm like, I want to kiss you right now. And then we did. And we made out at the beach. It was sick. It was cool. And yeah, so that was an opportunity. No, not in bathing suits. It was at night. I was waiting for my Uber. But I like intentionally didn't call it. Because like I like was sitting there and she was like, yeah, I'll wait with you for your Uber. And then I never called it. And then I worked my way around to trying to get up like this courage to bring up the subject, how I want to make out with her. And then I was like, should I call my Uber? And she was like, my house is right down the street. And I'm like, cool, let's go make out there.
Filthy.
What?
Just disgusting.
How is it? How?
The listener is just repulsed right now.
They are not. They are intrigued by my sexual prowess.
The listener is like trying to distance themselves from their headphones.
No, they're not.
Clean your headphones. After you're done with this, you guys clean your headphones.
Dip your headphones in bleach. Clean your ears in alcohol. Yeah. So it's been pretty sweet out in San Diego. Beautiful women. They're everywhere. They're really nice to me. They weren't very nice to me in high school, so it's a nice change. But Pat, you had a good one, right?
I never said it was good. I said it was really inappropriate in a modern context.
Oh, got it.
So I was in first grade when I had my first French kiss. First grade.
Wow.
A fifth grader took me to her house.
Oh, no.
Show me how to French kiss. Why she decided to pick me, I do not know. Yeah.
No.
That's a good story.
It was for me. I mean, I was thrilled at the time, certainly.
Yes. Is that why you have so much swagger and confidence now? You just know all the older ladies want you. You've never met a more subdued, confident person than Pat.
I would really like to talk to that girl or see her talk to her friends and go, you know, I really like first graders. I know we're in the fifth grade, but I really like first graders. You can get them to do what you want. Fifth graders are a hassle.
I like younger guys who can't read. Wow. That's crazy, man. That is crazy. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about it now?
Perfectly fine.
Perfectly good. Well, wonderful. Greg, what's your first kiss like?
Well, my first kisses were all, I think I was in fifth grade. I think I had my first kiss in fifth grade.
You kissed Pat?
I kissed Pat. I took him back to my place and taught him how. I like first grader. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But my first French kiss was a disaster. The girl's like, I'm all wet.
Oh, yeah.
Not in the right way. Everything else was dry.
Oh, God. Were you just like full suction cup mouth on top of her mouth?
Yeah, and I was just kind of going for it. I didn't really know what to do. I just put my tongue everywhere.
Yeah.
But then I went and figured it out on my bicep.
Nice.
I just kissed my arm a lot and then figured it out.
My first kiss, I was on my bike and I met her at a park. I was like 13, 12 or 13, something like that. And like my first like make out too. And we're at the park and again, I'm having like an awkward lead, and I'm on my bike, but I'm not on my seat. I'm like in between the bar, and I got my arms on, or my hands on the handlebars, and I like lean in to kiss her. And then she is also on her bike, and so she awkwardly has to like lean over to kiss me, and we start like sort of making out. And then as we pull back, I burped. And then I said, I'm sorry. And then we kept kissing. And then every once in a while, I burped again. She's like, I'm going to go home. And I'm like, yeah, me too. And on my bike ride, I kept burping and then feeling nothing but shame on the ride home. And I'm like, why am I? I had nervous burps. And that was the first time I French kissed a girl. It was really uncomfortable.
Did you kiss her again?
Yeah, after that. And then she was like, I think we should just be friends.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did it again to that girl I met last week. I burped in her face. Oh, I have nervous burps, guys. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so we have an update. So you remember a couple episodes ago, Anonymous wrote in about a guy that she really liked and wanted to him to take more of an initiative, but he just was having a real hard time with it, saying that we also sort of told her that maybe that's just not how his brain works. Like, he is not the type of guy to initiate dates and stuff. Like, he's sort of lazy in that way. Maybe it's not personal, you know? She said she has an update. Said, here's the follow-up. Let's call this guy Z. After the fifth date, he didn't text me for a week and a half. And I thought, okay, fine. He asked for a few weeks and is traveling. I didn't text him since I thought he wanted space.
You know, the funny thing, it's weird. You can't take your phone with you when you travel.
Yeah, I remember that. That's a new rule. Yeah.
I thought you could take your phone with you when you travel, but you can't.
No.
You can't get a hold of anybody when you're traveling.
Nope. You have to throw your phone in a trash bin, and at the bottom of that trash bin is a grinder that grinds up your phone. And you can't have it for the whole time you're gone in that state.
Yes, there's no way to get a hold of people when you travel.
And you're not allowed to borrow other people's phones that you might know to call and text and check in. You're not allowed to check in where you are. You know what I've noticed? There's a fall in people posting pictures of their vacations because they're not allowed to have their phone. So, Anonymous, I'm really sorry that he didn't text you, but that's the law. So after the fifth date, he didn't text me for a week and a half. And I thought, okay, fine. He asked for a few weeks and is traveling. I didn't text him since I thought he wanted space. I got COVID during that time and was in my own head spiraling and sent a frustrated text to him about stringing me along. He said he wasn't and that he has a lot going on and wants to maintain a friendship first. I felt weird about that. Oh, yep. I felt weird about that since we met on a dating app and said a phone call would be better to talk it through. I took accountability for sending the frustrated text on the call, but Z said he doubts our long-term capability, so being friends will slow it down because he still likes me, but he thinks I'm too serious.
Fuck him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I held him accountable and said, you make no plans to see me, to which he said sorry and admitted to. At this point, I was like, okay, this situation is done because a friendship for me isn't realistic. But then these last two weekends, he hit me up to ask me what I'm doing with no follow through. He called me once when I was out with friends, and that was confusing. I even asked, can we make a plan? I'm not a last minute plans person, to which he said, I 100% agree, and then still nothing. I don't have the energy to keep doing this, and anytime I speak up about my needs, he puts it on me, saying, I'm too intense. I've decided to let it go because he doesn't make an effort. Also, I'm 29 and he's 34, if that context helps. I should also mention the first and second dates were only times he planned / asked me to hang out. We slept together the third hang, and after that is when I felt like he became distant and I didn't want to lose the connection. He didn't make a plan or ask me to hang out once after we slept together. So yeah, maybe he was just in it for sex.
He's like five things and he's just not that into you.
Yeah, absolutely. He's also too much of a coward to just It's so funny. It's like, why didn't you just ghost her? If she's this much of a hassle and you're also not making plans to meet up with her.
Then you check in with her, like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're just, to string it. This is something I don't fucking get. Because when I don't like somebody, I don't want to string them along. I tell them straight up what I'm into, what I'm not into. And so I don't understand the continuing to contact her and connect with her. What's even the point of that? That seems like really vindictive. Like like you're personally going after this girl to like keep her for what reason? If you don't like her, if you're not into her, why would you do that for? Why? Explain that to me, fellas out there who do that. What are you doing that for?
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, because I'm super confused by that. That doesn't calculate. I don't want to text people I don't want to be friends with, you know, like my dad. I don't check in with my dad. Hey, pops, you up?
Hey, pops, you up?
Yeah. Dude, fuck this piece of shit. I don't understand his tactics. It doesn't make any sense. So fuck him. Move on. Block his number. Block him. Feel good. Block him on everything.
Yeah, send us his Instagram security handle and we'll block him.
Yeah, we'll block his ass.
Hey, if you're a writer, performer, or creative in any way, then you might benefit from my coaching program. I've written several best-selling books and toured the world as a stand-up comedian and started a band called The Reigning Monarchs. Whatever creative path you choose but feel stuck on, don't worry, because I can get you unstuck. For more information, go to gregorybarrant.com/coaching and sign up. You'll also find this link in the show's description. And I can help you if you have relationship problems as well.
This is the theme song for What Does This Mean Song. The theme song for What Does This Mean Song. We'll read a self-help quote, and they're definitely not memes. Memes are something completely different than quotes. Quotes are supposed to help you through all the bullshit in your life. And memes are like that poster of that cat hanging from a tree. And it says, hang in there, baby, or Mondays, am I right? Mondays, am I right? So if you can think of a different title, then we'll probably change it.
What does this mean? What? Huh?
No, what?
No. Mm-mm. Yes? I don't know.
What does this mean?
Welcome to What Does This Mean? Segment two. This is probably somebody's favorite segment. It's out there. There's a few people out there that really, truly love to death the theme song. And then there is one lady and a couple dogs that do not like it, hate it with a fervor. But I'm glad that you're all here to get inspired. We have a Discord, DTBFF podcast on Discord. Join it. Hang out with all of the listener. Become a listener. If you're a listener, become a listener on the Discord and hang out with the listener.
Yeah. Join it.
And talk about how you enjoy being the listener. Laura Lou sent, what does this mean, says, don't offer a lecture to a person who needs a hug.
Are you talking to me?
You want a hug? Do you want a hug or a lecture? What mood are you in?
Anybody that I'm going to give a lecture to does not deserve a hug.
Mm-mm. You keep your fucking arms and chest away from me. She says, Laura says, what I just posted up there, I hate it, LOL. Found it, had to share. You know, I actually don't mind it because if I'm in distress, I don't need someone to tell me how I'm wrong. You know, just give me a hug, pat me on my bald head and tell me it's all going to be okay.
Yeah. All right.
Could you do that now verbally?
Can I give you a verbal hug?
Yeah.
I'd rather take my life with this pencil.
Marissa has one over at our Instagram. Follow us on Instagram, BTBFF Podcast. Marissa sent one that says, she's a 10, but she pees on the floor in your apartment.
Okay, I think maybe this segment has run its course.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but on a Reddit remix, a girl pretended she was a cat, so she peed on the floor. And I got upset at the guy for saying, what do I do? Because I still find her enjoyable. And I said, she peed on your floor. I don't give a fuck if she can do magic. And you said, hey, but how good of a kisser is she? And defended the floor peer.
I did. I did.
I have some memes. This one says, what is called a reason for living is also an excellent reason for dying.
No.
Okay. I got another one here. This one made me laugh because it's one of those, it feels very real man quotey. It's a dude chilling next to a really nice looking car. And it's the quote underneath the car. He's like touching it. He's like caressing it very lovingly. Like he really worked his whole life to get this car. And now he's chilling at the mountains next to it. Like it's his girl, essentially. And it says, first you learn the U remove L. So it's grammatically incorrect because he's meant to put first you learn, then you remove the L. But he never put the N in then. So it was supposed to be inspirational. So first you learn, then you earn, essentially, is what it's supposed to be. But he misspelled it. And so the guy who put this up is a fucking dolt.
Incredible.
And then this one I don't really like, but I also get the sentiment. Maybe this helps somebody, but never beg for a friendship or a relationship with anyone. If you don't receive the same efforts you give, cut them off.
Yeah, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Those are mine. What do you have, Greg?
There's a guy named Robert Greene. He wrote a book that a lot of people like called The Art of Seduction. I don't know how I feel about this guy.
Okay.
He's like 444,000 followers. So he might fall into real man territory. I don't know. But here's one. And you got to really listen to it. Making your targets feel dissatisfied and in need of your attention is essential. But if you are too obvious, they will see through you and grow defensive. The key to seduction is making people need you more. Referring to anybody as your target.
Target. Mm-hmm.
Feel dissatisfied and in need of your attention is essential.
To seducing people?
If you're too obvious, they will see through you and grow defensive.
Yep. We all know that. It's called being thirsty.
From his 33 Strategies of War book.
Uh-huh.
It's your own bad strategies, not the unfair opponent, that are to blame for your failures. You are responsible for the good and the bad in your life. I think okay. This is also one of the 99 rules of comedy.
There's like 15 cents in advice right there.
Yeah.
Now, is the war book, is that also about dating and trying to seduce people?
No, I think it's for war.
For literally for war.
I guess what you might define as the war.
Okay.
So give me business.
Okay.
It could be dating.
Oh, so war in any general sense. So like your opponent is someone, if you're in business.
Because I was going to write The War of Dating.
Anytime something is a book about conquest in the dating world, that's how STDs get spread. You're not trying to fucking have a relationship. You're just trying to use people for their bodies and their dicks and vaginas. So, I mean, yeah, if that's what you're looking for, sure. Look at people as pure objects and then use those tactics. I'm sure you'll do just great out there. Karma won't be coming back for you, fella or lady. Pat, what do you got?
I've got one. This is kind of more of a tweet than a quote, but I just saw someone refer to mansplaining as correctile dysfunction. So please excuse me while I laugh hysterically for 6 hours.
Correctile dysfunction.
That's pretty good.
I like it.
I've also got, remember, most of your stress comes from the way you respond, not the way life is. Adjust your attitude and all the extra stress is gone.
God damn it, dude. Don't tell me to adjust my view. I like where I'm sitting and I enjoy my view. If I want to move, I'll move.
I've also got, and this one is bordering on real man quotesy. It has a tiger on it, so yes, always tigers. Always suspect. Good. To be the best, you must be able to handle the worst.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's duh.
Like somebody wrote that down even and went finished. Done. Done. I finished it. Here's my quote. I wrote it. I finished it.
I'm good.
Don't even write a book. Write a quote.
Watch it go viral. That's what practice is before the big game. God damn it, dude. Shut up. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows you have to deal with the worst to be anywhere in life. God, don't write it down. It's not important enough to be written down or said out loud.
Well, enough of the imitations. I've got some of the real goods here. I got a couple of real man quotes.
Yes.
Love it.
We've got, she'll always choose a successful man over a loyal lover. Remember that.
Why I'm successful, guys. Why I'm successful.
I'm way too loyal. I'm a too loyal of a lover. That's why I'm so desperately lonely.
That's what it is, man. You're too loyal of a lover. If you were successful.
I'll never be successful. I'm just so loyal of a lover. Oh, my God.
I think we'll close it out with this one. Also from Real Man Quotes. Over 3 billion women out there, but you choose her. She's not special, bro. You made her special. Move on, king.
Stop referring to you and us as kings.
Oh, I hate king. I hate king.
It's ugly.
It's so ugly. It's the worst.
God, I hate that so much.
Make it go away.
Yes, please. I also love the concept of that. Like, dude, there are 3 billion women out there and you chose her. She's not special. How many guys do you think there are? Like 50? What a horrible ratio.
Also, what is this bro pat? Like, what is this like jerk off of each other? You made her special, dude. Here, come. Now come.
No, come. Come together. Let's cross streams.
Come on, we're in the sauna.
Let's jerk off next to each other. We're bros. She's not special. We're special. Look at my dick. My dick has a crown on it because I'm a king, and so is he. Two separate kings, one body. Oh my God. Fucking boo. I hope there's an uprising in your kingdom and you are torn out of your fucking your castle. And strung up like Mussolini. Fuck you.
Yo!
Yeah.
I'm bringing my big coach energy.
Yeah. Is this positive Greg?
Oh, yeah. It's the super positive Greg.
So great when you show up.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Hey, positive Greg, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you like the Gen Z generation?
Do I like the Gen Z generation?
Yeah.
I don't even know what generation that is.
It's younger than me.
Yeah, my kids are younger than you.
Yeah, so they're Gen Z.
Yeah.
All right. Do you like your kids?
Very much.
Well, we have Gen Z, at least one Gen Z listener.
As long as it's not one of my kids.
As long as it's not one of your kids, absolutely. But Mariah is a Gen Z listener, and we asked back a couple episodes ago, the fuck do Gen Zs do for fun? Mariah said, listen to the episode, and you wanted me to write back in about what Gen Zs likes to do for fun. I had to take a bit to think about it. That's funny. She doesn't know what her own generation does for fun. My friends and I are just into going out to eat, and yeah, my friends go to bars more than clubs. I love to dance, but others my age are so awkward about it. I feel like we're big on just going out for any kind of drink, whether it be coffee or cocktails. We also tend to go in smaller groups. Most of my friends and I are all just so focused on making money, making that paper, baby, that as well as fun things get put to the side a lot. So that's my perspective with my friend group of Gen Z. We're like right on the edge with just being too young to be a millennial. You're a big Gen Z fan. Also, diagonal cut sandwiches are the way to go. Oh, my God. Unless it's better bread like sourdough or a baguette, then you cut it straight across. Okay, pick a side, Mariah. Cut it one way.
You can't diagonally cut a baguette unless you're insane. That doesn't sound a whole lot different than Gen X. You weren't making the money.
Right.
Money was for sellouts.
Yeah, that's true. It wasn't like the 80s, that was a time for like making money, starting a business. You know, that was what the 80s were all about, right?
Business. Yeah.
The 90s were about like Rage Against the Machine and the powers that be and taking down those people that make all the money while also still being able to afford cocaine.
That's right. And right. Heroin.
And heroin.
And sweaters.
To hide the heroin marks. Yeah. The 90s were a great time.
I love the 90s.
Yeah, the 90s. 90s
I love great. The 90s. I miss the 90s.
Yeah, me too. I grew up in the 90s. We had somebody email into the show over at dtbffpodcast@gmail.com. This is from Anonymous. Which I think is weird that she wants to be anonymous, even though there's absolutely nothing personal about her email, even a little bit. I just wonder, does she not want people to know she watched this movie?
Yeah.
It must be it. Doesn't make any sense. Hey, guys. Longtime listener here for the good old Ball and Hammer days. Love you all and hope you are having a great day. I have always been tempted to write in. I hope this information strikes up some riveting conversation. Of course, I had to stir the pot a bit. My ridiculous love of romantic comedies led me to this gem, a movie called How Do You Know, circa 2010, available on Netflix. 33 minutes in, we see Paul Rudd and Reese Witherspoon on a date, perhaps a bit of a deja vu for Mr. Kane Holloway. All fun and games, anonymous, please. And the subject heading is Kane's date idea in Hollywood lighting? ? And we have some audio from that scene that Pat is going to play right now.
Maybe I should just tell you what's going on. You know what? I never talk about myself. I should just do it.
No! Don't do that. George, this is what I'm suggesting. That we eat. And that we don't work at this conversation. Let's just cut ourselves a break here and give ourselves permission to be quiet. For the whole dinner. Completely quiet.
I watched that scene.
Did you watch the movie?
I didn't watch the movie. I just watched that scene. And then after Reese, because I watched like the lead up to that,
what's it called?
How Do You Know?
Oh, I don't remember it at all.
I don't remember it at all. I've never even heard of it.
Those are two big stars to be in a movie. Well, they weren't big stars back then. Paul Rudd wasn't.
Yeah, Reese was, I think.
Reese was. Yeah, she's always been a big star.
Yeah, that scene, he's like really struggling really hard to make the date comfortable, and he's really uncomfortable and making her uncomfortable. And so during that whole thing, she just gives up and says, let's just not talk the entire dinner. And then they don't. And the rest of the scene, they're just quietly eating food together. And then it's kind of sweet. And then the scene ends with them walking out. And then Paul Rudd is the first person to talk after that. And so it's about, I think she's trying to say that the silent date is a good idea.
The way Reese Witherspoon was suggesting it didn't seem like fun.
Right.
She seems pissed.
Sure. Because talking is a convoluted mess, and silence is the best way to get to know a person. Everyone go on a silent date. We're bringing it back.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's coming back, baby. 2024, the silent date.
Oh, no. It's never happening. Nobody listening to this is going to go on a silent date.
I feel like we've just proven that two big stars like Reese Witherspoon and Paul Rudd would go on a silent date together.
I want someone to go on a silent date, and I want them to shoot it on their phone.
Yes.
Like just moments of it.
Mm-hmm.
And send it to us.
Yes.
Send us your silent date so we can see how it went.
Fuck, that would be amazing. Yeah, send us your silent date. That would be so cool. And then let us know if you guys are getting married. And then if you are getting married, you can send me a personal thank you.
Does Reese Witherspoon end up together with Paul Rudd in that? Or is Paul Rudd just a guy she's going on a date with? Like maybe not even the star of the movie.
We'll see. I'll watch the movie, and then we'll see. And then I'll come back and I'll tell you one how it is, and if it's worth watching, and if they get together at the end. Are we ready for a Reddit remix?
Let's do it.
Hell yeah! Reddit remix. Me with my boyfriend of 3 years. He cannot get over the fact that I don't like podcasts, and he's driving me crazy. Please don't turn this into a, well, have you tried X podcast, or what are your hobbies / interests? I bet I know a podcast that you would like. The fact that I don't like podcasts is not the issue. The issue is that my husband will not let go of the fact that I don't like them. He brings it up all the time because he enjoys them. And they're the hip new thing for everyone to obsess about and talk about. When the fuck was this posted?
Yeah, I know.
Hip new thing. Podcasts are old news, man. I'm not into them. If I want to listen to something, I want music or maybe occasionally an audiobook of a book I've been meaning to read. I don't want it. Do you want an audiobook of a book you don't want to read? The way she structured this letter, I don't like her, and it has nothing to do with the podcast thing. I don't want to listen to hours of podcasts in the car. I don't want to listen to them when we're doing the dishes or chores. I'm more than happy to turn on separate devices when we do that stuff so he can listen to his podcasts and I can listen to an album or whatever else. Problem is, my husband cannot let go of this. He cannot let go of the fact that I am not interested in his type of podcasts in particular. And when I explain why, it reminds me of being in high school and being forced to listen to boring lectures or documentaries about things I just don't care about. I don't want to listen to friends babbling on about things. He made it into this big thing about how I need to try to be more intellectual and open to new ideas. That's a terrible
podcast. And I think this one is a perfect example, are nothing but intellectual.
Absolutely. Which I have no problem with. I read a ton. I like to read, not listen to boring NPR narrators talk in their monotone middle America voices. It's just not for me. Like, she's really dragging podcasts pretty hard in this letter.
Yeah. And she just, like, and she also just dragged NPR.
Yeah. Okay. But every time we get into the car for more than an hour, he insists on turning on a podcast. I will absolutely sit through it and smile and nod. But when he asks, did you like it? See, isn't it good to listen to intellectual things? Okay, this guy's a fucking, her husband sucks too. He makes me feel like I'm a child or something who won't eat her veggies. To be fair, he's the kind of guy who says things like, try it, you'll like it, about recipes, or you just haven't found the right one yet regarding, well, the podcasts. It's starting to drive me insane. And, well, we have a big road trip coming up in a few weeks, and I don't want to have to listen to hours and hours of podcasts. I'd be happy with an audiobook we both picked out. I'd be happy with a podcast for an hour or two, but I just don't want to listen to endless hours. I guess I need help figuring out how to work this out with him. Why won't he get it? That's it. That's the letter.
Well, she doesn't want to work it out with him.
No, no, absolutely not.
And he obviously isn't going to quit podcasts anytime soon.
Nope.
It's funny. I listen to a lot of podcasts and Amira does not really love them. She'll listen to Smartless. Really, that's about it.
Right.
And usually she's got to be either laying out by the pool or working out. And so she doesn't really care. And it doesn't bother me in the least.
Nope.
I could care less if she listens to podcasts or not. I don't care if people don't like podcasts.
No. This is like a real personal thing for him. He's one of those guys that, like, so he likes a thing, and then he likes to also be responsible for you liking the thing. Like, he turned you on to this new thing, and now you're as obsessed with it as he is, and you can share it together. But mostly, it feels like his main concern is, I found it, I know you'll like it, and you should be pleased that I'm trying to broaden your horizons. I mean, using the verbiage, like, you should open your mind up to be more intellectual. She reads books and wants to listen to audio books. I don't think this woman has a problem with wanting to broaden her horizons, but I don't know what this guy listens to, but I'm sure there's a lot of babbling. There's so many podcasts where people babble and ramble on excessively, constantly.
Yeah. I mean, it really is hard to even, like, I'd need to know what he was listening to even judge if she's, because she could be right.
Yeah, she could be right. I also understand her hatred towards the subject now. Because I'd be just as annoyed in my letter. Because she comes off so annoyed and so frustrated, and then like thumbs her nose at podcasts in general. But then if I didn't like something and my partner was fucking constantly trying to shove it down my throat, I'd be like, hey, how do I get them to stop fucking bothering me with this stupid ass idea that I don't like? So I'd come off pretty pissed off too if that was constantly happening. Cause yeah, it does feel like, come on, buddy, come on, just give it a listen. You're gonna love it. I think I know what you like, and I know what's best for you. And it feels condescending.
Yeah,
but he doesn't seem like he's gonna stop. And so if you're being polite, I think it's time to stop being polite and just straight up tell him what you don't like and how you won't listen to it. And let's just live in those separate worlds.
Yeah, agreed.
Also, make sure you subscribe to Don't Take Bullshit from Fuckers. We're on iTunes or Spotify. You can also find us on Patreon. We do video versions of this show and bonus episodes. Patreon.com/DTBFF podcast. If you really don't like podcasts, but you just want to support us for helping you out with your problems, because really, I mean, we just fucking nailed it for you. We probably saved your marriage. So throw us a dollar. Patreon.com/DTBFF podcast. And if you're at all interested, you can follow me at Kane Holloway on Instagram.
I'm It's Gregors.
I'm at DTBFF producer Pat.
Hell yeah. Greg, do you have, You still have coaching going on over
at... Yes, I do.
That's right.
I'm coaching the shit out of it. If you're interested in coaching, go to gregorybarrett.com and go to coaching and hit me up. And I'll hit you right back.
Yeah. 1-2 punch. You can also call into the show. What's that number, Pat?
That number is 323-379-5544.
Don't take bullshit from fuckers.
Welcome.
Hey there. If you like the show, you can find bonus episodes and more at our Patreon at patreon.com/DTBFFpodcast. And then rate the show 5 stars on iTunes because it's the right thing to do. All music by the Reigning Monarchs, produced by Patrick Kelly for All Things Comedy.